I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of The Memo. It is Wednesday, January 6, 2016. I'm Derek Russell, joined today by Brad Locke. Brad, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Yeah. I overslept and still felt like I only got an hour of sleep last night.
Your voice broke like you were 13 there for a second.
But my voice hasn't completely awakened, so should have done some vocal warm-ups before
That's
this.
That's okay. You want to work it out for a second?
Yeah. How now, brown cow?
Don't do it into the microphone. That'll scare the children.
My bad.
What was that?
What? Some dude just walked past the
studio. Was he carrying another guy?
Carrying something very large.
Looked like he was carrying another man.
I thought it was a box.
Was it a mannequin?
In a box.
Maybe.
It was disturbing.
A man in a box?
It just happened so quickly.
It did. I didn't even know who that guy is.
I'm so glad we're glassed in here.
I think he works in maintenance.
Can watch us. It looked like he was carrying another gentleman over his shoulder.
Hmm. Shenanigans. Maybe there's some news we need to go cover.
An officer and a gentleman. You
know, dead right body there. At the Journal.
I mean, he could have been, like, thrashing, like, beating him on the back, trying to get out of the whatever wrestling hold he had on him. I don't know, but...
And the history books will say, and the podcast recorded on while it was all happening.
Yeah. We're a bit of footnote to a footnote here, so... I'm not sure. I kind of want to go. Let's go mobile.
Let's go. Let's do this. Do a remote.
It's fine. It's done. Whatever happened. There probably wasn't even a guy. Hey, there's Joe Rutherford.
Hey, Joe.
Bye, Joe.
There he goes. Okay.
He doesn't look at us.
No, he doesn't.
He's too good for us.
But you complain when people do look at us. So
that's why he doesn't.
When they throw peanuts at us through the through the vents, that's what concerns
make monkey
me.
Noises.
When they start beating their chest at us.
That's no good.
Maybe Joe doesn't have any peanuts on him.
It's like that Geico commercial when they go to the Campbell's and they're like, hey, guess what day it is? I hate those commercials.
It is. Oh, I love those.
It is Wednesday, but let's not. I didn't mean to start anything. I hate those godforsaken commercials so much. Geico used to be funny about 30 years ago, but or I guess 15 years ago.
Remember when Kelsey Grammer was the voice of the little gecko?
Yes.
Now they got some
Irish
guy. I don't know.
Pre-caveman, way back when.
It took me a while
although
to adjust
the pig's
guy.
Pretty funny. The first few where they had the pig hanging out the window.
Yeah.
Whee!
Yeah, that's pretty good.
This is what we've become now. We're just referencing 20-year-old commercials at this point.
Why not?
Well, I'm just trying to wake you up a little bit. You look like you could use it. I mean, your hair's awake, but the rest of you's...
Yeah, I didn't...
It's standing at attention.
I was doing my hair this morning. Yes, I do my hair because otherwise...
That's not a permanent thing that you have to do that to it?
Yeah, and I was, like I said, I was half asleep. I've been half asleep most of the day. I just was like...
It looks good. It's a good look.
I guess.
If you got it, flaunt it.
I suppose.
I wouldn't know.
You trimmed your beard. It was coming in nicely. I mean, you still have one, but I kind of like the bushy look you had.
Hair. I had hair. I
like the bushy.
I took everything down.
Beard you had going on.
Good morning.
Looks good, though.
Yes, the wind likes it.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the wrong time of year, dude.
It's fine.
For a trim.
It's fine. Hey, we got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, yeah, I guess we have, like, real things
episode.
To talk about.
Yes. Whoever was carrying somebody and my facial hair have nothing to do with anything at this point. They were all just ruses to get you awake.
Thank you. Maybe I need to work on my...
You are coffeeless, I've noticed.
I've had a cup. I need another.
You always come in with a cup.
Yeah, I do, don't I?
Yeah. You were off your game today. Your shirt's inside out.
No, it's not.
You're not wearing pants.
That's what I forgot. I was going to draft you this morning.
First up today, we've got William Moore joining us. William, how are you doing?
Doing just fine.
Well, good. Let's talk about demolition. That'll wake you up in the morning. The sound of construction crumbling and
concrete falling.
Yes.
And not falling on mattresses.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't fall on you, you're fine.
That's
true. They took all the mattresses out, so we're fine, right?
Well, not all of them.
Has everything been raided?
Not all of them. There's still a good bit of stuff that needs to be hauled off.
We're talking about the Travelodge demolition over the old Ramada Inn. Here in Tupelo,
right
behind the old Bogarts here in Tupelo, behind the old references that none of you understand, except for William, he gets them.
Well, the hotel was built in 1972, and for the first nearly 40 years, it was the Ramada Inn. So folks around here still know it as Ramada Inn. I mean, it's corner North Gloucester and McCullough Boulevard. Mm-hmm. But several years ago, it was sold, or at least the front portion of the complex was sold, and it became a Travelodge. And then in 2011, it suddenly ceased to be operational anymore, and it's sat abandoned since then. There'd been some work to try to clean it up and get it back where it could work. There's been some demolition and salvage work, but it sort of just came to a halt, and now they're at the point now where the city wants somebody to step up, demolish the building, because it is a public safety health issue.
Now, does this include the front part where Bogart's and all that was as
it
well?
It includes the whole, the front part, everything that was the Ramada, the whole.
So basically the L.
The L, the whole, yeah. The courtyard with the pool in the middle, Bogart's, the two little meeting rooms.
But not the summit, of course. The summit is
right. It doesn't include the portion in the back, the conference center, and you extend down past it. That's still, that's a roadway in. And then the part in the back is still the Clarion Summit.
Right, right.
So those are still two operational hotels, but anybody driving down the street can't see those because all they see is an abandoned building with a construction trailer sitting out front.
So what's the plan here moving forward?
Well, several folks on the city council wanted to move forward and go ahead and order the demolition last night or Tuesday night. Instead, though, there's a Dallas-based bank that owns the property, and they have asked basically for a little more time.
Did it go into foreclosure to the bank?
Depends on who you ask.
Okay.
It's one of those things where it's sort of in default, sort of not. Right. It's sort of in legal financial limbo right now. But basically, this bank still is the first lien holder. They've asked for a little more time to come up with a plan to resecure the building, board it up so nobody can get inside, secure the pool. And basically, they're supposed to have a plan in place within the next 2 weeks before the council meets again. And if they have a plan, the council said, all right, we'll work with you to get it torn down, get it cleaned up. If they don't have a plan when the council meets again on the 19th, they're just going to move forward with taking over, you know, as a city can do, to declare it a public safety issue and order the demolition, and then they'll put a bill on the property. I mean, it'll be a tax lien for roughly $100,000 is what it'll cost to tear it down.
Size that for a lot that size. What, so the exterior walls of each individual room have been ripped out already.
Right. That was done through a person who believed he, or was working in good faith with the bank, but there was never a contract apparently signed. So he was working to salvage what could be salvaged, and that includes all the little hotel-style air conditioners are in that outside wall, any kind of metal doors, anything like that. They were trying to salvage and either resell, reuse, or somehow repurpose, you know, trying to get some money out of it. But, yeah, like I said, those exterior walls are now gone.
Right.
But there's still the concrete superstructure is still there. So for the most part, you can't just where these outside walls are, you can't just walk into the courtyard.
Right.
You still have to go around the corner to find one of the stairwells or through the front office. Where,
of course, from the parking lot, you could just go into the lower levels if because they're not boarded up.
The outside, right. You could go into the outside room, but you can't get into the courtyard because there still is somewhat of a fence on the outside.
I'm
on
not
the backside.
Suggesting anybody do that. I'm just saying the way it's been left now. So the bank feels that they can go forward with the existing structure without tearing it down?
No, the bank basically is basically what it's going to end up being is similar to what Tommy Morgan did diagonally across the intersection across the with the Executive Inn slash Hilton. Someone's going to basically tear down the building.
Right.
And then you have a prime piece of property at a major intersection in town.
At this point, it's just the question of whether the bank goes ahead and does it or whether the city does it and puts a tax lien on the
pretty much that's where, I mean, because the city, basically, the city attorney Ben Logan said last night, whatever the bank's plan is, it's going to have to include demolition.
Right. Because they've split that all up into parcels now when they sold off the rest of it with the roadway and summit. So, I mean, you've got that whole amount right there that's got to be dealt with.
Well, I mean, it's a lot. I mean, it's a 106 room hotel sitting right there on the front. I mean, it's, you know, even former Mayor Jack Reed spoke out at the press conference or at the public hearing last night saying, you know, this is a prime economic portion of Tupelo. It needs to be redeveloped.
Especially, I mean, we've had even more hotels raise up around there in the last couple of years.
Well, that was one thing they were talking about with Bruce Patel across the street with the Holiday Inn, where he tore down the old buildings and built two brand new hotels there.
Right.
And then on the northwest corner, the old Executive Inn, they've already torn down it and are getting ready to do something over there, what would you brand new? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you have two or three of the corners already redeveloped, it only makes sense to make something new over here on this corner.
It's such a weird location, especially without a red light being there anyway, to try and get in and out of that area. Not adding insult to injury by any stretch of the imagination by saying a light needs to be there. I'm just saying it's always been a very weird intersection, turn point there to have.
There's a lot of traffic goes through that area, yes. And whenever there is a large function, especially at the conference center in the back, it's always difficult to get in and out.
It's very congested.
As folks are moving into the event or moving out, it's very congested.
Well, and you've always got some idiot you've got two complete lanes of people trying to turn left or right, but then some idiot feels like he's got enough room to go around and mess up the entire thing. I'll be interested to see what happens with that. All right, William, thanks for joining us.
All right, glad to. And Brad, sorry you had to talk about your driving like that.
Need to remind everybody of the other podcasts we have here. We have Prep Rally, new episode, going to drop this afternoon. It's back after a holiday break. Gene Phelps and myself are going to talk a lot of high school basketball. We're right smack in the middle of the season, division play coming up. Had some good games last night that we covered. We'll talk about those, have Athletes of the Week and other good stuff. You can listen to that either on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. And Thursday, we will have another episode of Double Coverage, Ole Miss and MSU Sports Talk with Parrish Holford and Logan Lowry. Also, you can listen to that on iTunes or your podcast app and at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Okay. We've got M. Scott Morris here in the studio. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Have a good holiday?
I had a pleasant holiday.
Saw peaches? Saw pictures from the beach.
No, that was...
Was that something else?
No, I put that in. I put it in last night. We weren't at the beach for the holiday, but that was from earlier in the year.
Oh, okay.
But I made that my background on Facebook.
So where did you go for the holidays?
I was here. I worked on Christmas. I didn't see you anywhere around. I was here.
No, I was in St. Louis.
I was hanging out.
You should have gone to the beach for the holiday.
Might have been nice.
Would have been nicer.
No, we had people come see us. We had a nice time, though.
That's good. Okay.
I got a new shirt, flannel.
Oh, I like it. Looks nice. Good. You go cut some wood after this?
You know what? I went and cut wood this weekend. It was an enjoyable experience.
I actually, one of the few, I don't like manual labor, but chopping wood is something I enjoy. But I haven't done it in forever.
I've been sore ever since.
I don't have a fireplace. So what are you going to do? All right, Scott, we brought you on here to actually talk about a story you had Monday, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, with Mr. Baxter.
Jay Baxter, a 72-year-old gentleman from Biggersville, retired, but still, he's not sitting around being lazy.
Yeah, he's an entrepreneur. You know, in fact, he has his federal firearms license, so I wonder if Obama's new rules are going to affect him. I was wondering about that.
Go back and get some reaction from him.
He was the only guy I thought about when I saw that. That could affect Mr. Baxter.
This guy's done a lot of stuff over the years. What intrigued me the most, and you spent a good bit of time talking about it, was this radio station that he started. He and another guy started back in the 70s just up the road in Jackson, Tennessee.
Yeah, and he said it took him a long time to get that frequency, and nobody in that market was 24 hours until about 2 weeks before they went on air. And so everybody else had to pick up their game, apparently.
Really?
And then he was pretty proud. He showed me a newspaper clipping from the day when he sold it four years later for $1.2 million.
It's not bad.
He and his partners.
Yeah.
And he's just a guy that just hustled all his life back when hustling, at one time hustling was a really good word and had no negative connotations. Yeah. I think now it's got a little bit on that on national media connotation. But actually, as that magazine falls back, hustler gets reclaimed in game. People get out there and just get things done.
Was it a country station?
I'm making this podcast obscene again.
Oh, boy. We're going to lose our rating now. Was it a country station?
I believe it was a hit station.
Okay. I was wondering.
And he's owned a bunch of stations over the years.
Okay.
What he also did for a period of time is he did 15 minutes of material opening up for guys like George Jones and Conway Twitty traveling around the South and showing up. And he told me one of his jokes, and he used to tell jokes about his Uncle Jake and Aunt Pauline. His Uncle Jake, he said, was 330 pounds, and he was 5'3" both ways. And one time, Aunt Pauline found a diet for him. And the diet was you can eat all the vegetables you want and drink all the wine you want. And he lost 30 pounds and his driver's license. But I'm both. I enjoyed good. Those jokes. I didn't get them in the story, so I thought I could share that here in making this podcast obscene again. I could.
I also thought it was cool that Carl Perkins, who I believe is either from Jackson or had lived there.
He had lived there, and apparently, like, at one time when
the station, yeah.
Apparently, like, I looked into this a little bit. I didn't find, but Mr. Baxter apparently said that his brother knew Carl Perkins back in the day, and that Carl taught him a few chords when he was a kid because when he went with his brother. And they'd hung out, and then apparently, like, Carl Perkins would come over to the radio station, and I went, and then he would go over to Carl Perkins' house every now and then. And he said one day he was there, and someone knocked on the door, and it was Paul McCartney.
How about that?
And
this was back in the 70s. I mean, McCartney was...
Actually, it would be like the early 80s. Okay. It was, and...
So the Beatles were not together, but he was still huge, obviously.
Right, and apparently it was after John Lennon had died.
Okay,
I went online. If you look up Paul McCartney and Carl Perkins, you get some scenes from them from a Memphis studio playing a song that Carl Perkins wrote in John Lennon's honor. And so he said he stayed there for a little bit. Mr. Baxter said he stayed there for a little bit, and then saw they were working, and so he slipped out. You know,
yeah, didn't go all fanboy on him. He's professional.
Yeah, he said one time he was going to go. I think he was going to go fishing with Carl Perkins, Mr. Perkins. I don't know him. I can call him Carl, Mr. Baxter and Carl. But Carl got a call, and it was Paul McCartney. He said, "I've been trying to get a hold of this guy for a while. Do you mind?" You know.
Yeah.
So not giant life changing events, but the pop culture of 20th century intersecting with Mr. J. Baxter.
That's pretty cool. A whole 6 degrees of separation. Just to hang out with Carl Perkins, who, you know, I'm a big Johnny Cash fan, and he and Carl, I believe, toured together for a while back in the day. We're good friends. And for you kids who don't know, Carl Perkins was...
He wrote Blue Suede Shoes. Yeah, Blue Suede Shoes.
He sure did. So he was a pretty big deal back in the day on the music scene. There's other
Tell
stuff
you what,
this guy did.
It didn't make it in. Mr. Baxter said that Carl Perkins wrote the first draft of Blue Suede Shoes on a rip piece of a grocery sack.
That's so, pretty cool.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the story
be.
I got.
I love those kind of stories. In fact, I'm actually reading a recently published Johnny Cash biography that gives a lot of that cool behind-the-scenes stuff about how songs came about. It didn't mention how Perkins went about writing it, but it did spend some time on it.
But it was pretty much debuted in Amory at a concert. Yeah, the song was.
Elvis was not the first to sing it.
No.
Now I'm having trouble remembering who it was, but...
I imagine it was Carl Perkins. I guess it was.
I want to say it was a blues guy that sang it first. But anyway, what else has this guy done, Scott? He's done a lot of things.
He ran a taxi company. He had a syrup operation. And he ran a department store for a while. He raised harness horses, or horses for harness racing. He sold mobile homes a couple of times.
Yeah.
He's just done it all. And he said he was retired, and I guess he was, but he had that firearms license because he had owned a pawn shop for a while and shut that down. He said too many people would come in with a $20 gun and want to trade it and $100 for a $200 gun. So you had to be on your game and know what you had. just a guy, and we say he was retired, but then he didn't do much anymore. But then while I was there, he took a phone call, and he was working on a deal to buy a backhoe. So he's got things going on.
Yeah, he does some motivational speaking and talks to churches.
Talks to churches and the kids and all that. And, deal. So an interesting fellow. I was glad to spend some time with him. He got a nice house up in Bakersfield.
Yeah. Y'all can read this story. It's in Monday's Journal, or read it at djournal.com. It's good stuff, Scott. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And actually, I just checked this. Scott, you're right. Carl Perkins was the first to record it. And before you get out of here...
You know, this is the first time this year I've heard somebody say, Scott, you're right. So that's fantastic.
You don't get that at home all the time? Scott, you're right.
I don't get that much other places.
I know I've said goodbye to you, but now I need you to hold on and give us some info on this pretty cool thing we're doing, this Entertain Us film contest.
Yeah, well, we're saying that if you're out there and you've made a movie, if you worked hard at it and made it, cut it, put it all together, great. Or if you just got a slice of somebody getting hit by a crotch in the crotch, that is extremely funny.
That's always funny.
You know, from 1 second to 5 minutes is kind of our limit.
Yeah.
And we like to send it to us. You'd upload it to YouTube, send the link to entertainus@journalinc.com. Mm-hmm. Our deadline is January 20th. And when we get them all, they're going to compete head-to-head in a bracket-style competition, very much like the Final Four and all that, the basketball stuff. And we're going to have our readers on DJRL.com vote for their favorites, and we'll have an ultimate winner. The winner will get five. No, I was about to go off on some crazy number, millions of dollars.
$5,000.
$5,000 million. No, actually, a director's chair, a nice handy-dandy director's chair with your name on it, and then a director's slate, you know, the cut. You know,
or that thing.
Speed, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
slate.
That's all you need.
And then Chris now is just like reducing my mic. The
you have to adjust the mic.
I'm adjusting my mic there after all that noise I make. I keep forgetting about that. And so we're gonna have a winner around Oscar time, and that's our plan to kind of do it then. We've got some in. We'd love to have more. And so if you got something in your phone, if you got something in your computer, if you're working on something, you know, if you got something that's 6 minutes, maybe you can get it down to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And we'd love to have it. Registration is free and open. It's open to anybody in the world, unless you work for Journal Inc.
Or a family member or a Journal Inc.
Or a family
Inc.
member
employee.
Works for Journal Inc. Because then, you know, it's unfair to give them a director's chair. Because we all have director's chair at the Journal.
We just got new chairs, in fact.
We did get new chairs. Not director's chairs, though.
Good deal. All right. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
And now for today's news memo. These are stories you can find out more of reading your daily journal or visit online at djournal.com. New Albany is one of the 15 cities across the country to win a grant to present a free 10-week concert series. The city received $25,000 from the Mortimer and Mimi Levitt Foundation AMP grant program. It will host its concerts at the park along the river.
Underclassmen from the Ole Miss and Mississippi State football teams have announced their intentions to enter the NFL draft. Ole Miss offensive lineman Laramie Tunzel and wide receiver Laquan Treadwell announced on Monday their plans to turn pro, joining defensive lineman Robert Kimdichie. One NFL draft analyst says all three could be among the first 11 picks in the draft. And meanwhile, Mississippi State defensive tackle Chris Jones said on Tuesday that he also plans to enter the draft. Jones is a native of Houston, Mississippi.
Itawamba Community College is offering a new online degree program in public health technology. The two-year program combines online lecture courses with real-life clinical experience. Graduates will win an Associate of Applied Science degree. They will be qualified to hold positions such as community health worker, insurance navigator, healthcare advocate, and healthcare educator.
Tupelo Christian Preparatory School opened its new 7th and 8th grade classroom building on Tuesday. The building was ready for students when they returned from Christmas break. It is one of several construction projects being done at the school, totaling $3 million. Others include a new dining hall and athletic field house.
And joining us now is our resident food, garden, and home expert, Jenna Parsons. Jenna, how are you doing today?
I don't know about expert, but I'm fine.
You're expertly expert. And in fact, your first food section of the year, would it not?
It is. It is the first food section of the year.
2016, jumping right into it with healthy tips for 2016. As far as cooking goes?
Cooking and eating and planning and trying to stay on track. Leanne Davis is a registered dietitian that I talked to about this. And Leanne, she's got it all together. She's got three kids. She teaches a Weight Watchers class. I think she also still teaches a fitness class, and she works full time. And still she can get all this done and on the table and have family salad nights and family potato nights. So I think if Leanne can do it, the rest of us can at least, you know, give it the old college try.
I can do it, but then somebody's got to come in and do everything else for me that I'm giving up in order to do these things. What are some of her guidelines that she goes by?
Well, she's talking about, you know, we still need to be thinking about a plant-based diet, lots of fruits, lots of vegetables, and that for those who choose not to have animal protein, meat or chicken or fish as the protein, that we can get that same protein from beans and legumes and nuts and peanut butter and things like that. But she also points out, because so often when we think about protein, we think that, okay, protein's meat or protein's beans if you don't eat meat. But she pointed out that it's in the story, and I don't want to get the information wrong, but I think it is a half a cup of cooked broccoli has 4 grams of protein, as does a half a cup of cooked quinoa. So they're there's protein hidden in things that we don't think of as associated with proteins.
I know when I buy that jar of Jif peanut butter, it says protein really big on the side of it.
Yes, it does. It does. And she talks also about that being healthy isn't just about what you put in your mouth. Mm-hmm. It's also about being healthy in mind and spirit, whether that's taking a yoga class or a Pilates class, but just you have to feel good about yourself overall, not just, oh, let me make good food choices today. So she talks about kind of stepping outside the box a little bit, trying new things.
Well, and talk about things that are going in the box. Your slow cooker column about chicken tacos, which are, how did that go?
Oh my gosh, it couldn't be easier. You put chicken breast in the slow cooker, you sprinkle them with taco seasoning, chop up a couple of bell peppers and onion on top, add some water, put the top on, and let it go for 6 to 8 hours on low or 4 hours on high. And I went home and put this together, and it probably took start to finish 15 minutes.
And I came over and enjoyed it last night. It was wonderful. Thank you for hosting us for dinner. Excellent. Your cook of the week, rounding out the food section, Sandy Dossett, who likes to do a little bit of everything, it sounds like.
She does. And when she was nominated, it was just the name Sandy Dossett. I had no idea who she was. And when I got in there to interview her and we sat down and I'm getting her name and her age, and I said, are you married? And she said, yes. And I said, what's your husband's name? And she said, Rudy. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't realize that this was the car dealership, mm-hmm. Dossett. But she said very complimentary things about her husband, including that he is not a picky eater and he's a very good sport. But, Sandy, she likes to paint. She loves to cook. She loves to cook for her family. She likes to make birthday cakes and, in fact, had made one that I cannot discuss on this podcast because it is not, it would not benefit God or mankind. But it was.
Or our rating system.
But it was, well, actually, it might help the rating system.
Hey.
It was hilarious.
Okay.
I'll just say that the cake was in the shape of a toilet.
Uh-huh.
For someone who was turning 40, which apparently is synonymous with being very, very old.
I understand.
So it was, but she had also done a classy cake to go along with it.
So she's a good sport too then.
Oh, she's got a wonderful sense of humor.
Yeah.
And a beautiful home.
You had a great line when you were telling me about it earlier, and I can't remember what it was now, but it was the way you described it was very good.
No, I'm not going to be able to say it. She said that her family loves what she fixes because she fixes what they love.
My family loves, yeah. Yeah. It's good all around. All right, Jenna, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And, of course, you can read Jenna's column, Cook of the Week, and her other story about healthy tips online at djournal.com, which is hosted by Thrive Marketing, which is a full-service digital marketing company located right here in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local business. Brad?
Hey.
Put a feather in my cap.
Nicely done.
Call it macaroni, because we're done.
We are, yeah. I guess.
I was going to say stick a fork in me, but I thought you might take that literal. You're not quite down on that far enough.
Stick a fork in me today, apparently.
Coffee. It's fine. Your hair looks good.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. You do anything different with it? Or?
No. Uh-huh. Just the same. Yeah.
It's fine.
It's cool. Hey, I have good news, though. I'm back from my, I had shingles, which we've discussed. Not a pleasant subject. I'm back.
What was funny is it looked like a Godzilla movie there for a minute because you were going to go totally a different direction with it. You know, I'm back from shingles.
And the mouth was moving. Yeah, I don't
Godzilla.
Know. I don't know why I'm
run away.
Hesitant to talk about it, but you know, I'm doing well and returned to action on the basketball court Monday. I'm saying all this. Because Monday, I played church league basketball. Uh-huh. Justin Whitmore, our news editor, is on our team, uh-huh. Lawndale Presbyterian. Uh-huh. Justin had some heroics on Monday.
Oh.
Yeah. We're down by
a
point.
Save a child? Or
down by a point. Not that.
Oh, then this is
this was much more exciting.
Oh, no. Wow. Wow.
down by a point.
Saved one of your children.
down by a point. 10 seconds left. Justin's got the ball. We were in the half court trying to find a shot. Clock's running down. Like 2 seconds left. 1 second, and Justin's being double-teamed.
Mm-hmm.
Splits the defenders, puts up a shot, goes in as the buzzer goes off, and I got it all on video.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So you're saying you're the hero.
No, on video.
Check Brad's Facebook page.
I was on the bench for good reason during that tense moment. I was fine.
I got to get out. Tag me out.
So it's a pretty sweet shot, too. He leans in and posted it
on my Twitter account, at Brad Locke.
And then he's kind of cool walking off. Everybody's like jumping up and down, high-fiving him. And he's just
Played it cool.
I haven't seen this.
Really? No. I have to show it to you off air.
You need to check it out.
It's good stuff. So anyway, I just wanted to give Justin a shout out there for that.
Well, speaking of Twitter, we're on Twitter.
Yes, we are.
At DJournalMemo. Mm-hmm. Also, as we said a minute ago, you can find all these stories we talked about today online at DJournal.com. Also, links at Daily Journal's Twitter at DJournalNow. You can email us, memo@journalinc.com.
Please do.
Link with a C. And of course, we're online, memo.djournal.com. And we will be back again tomorrow with a brand new episode.
See y'all then.
Goodbye.